Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey besties! Welcome back to another episode of From Blooded to Besties.
It's your girls.
It's your girls. We're on episode 10.
It's my birthday today.
When this comes out.
When it goes live.
You gave me a mini panic attack for a second.
We film 2 episodes every other week. So this episode, it's my birthday.
I love that. I'm over here like, damn, you've been here for 2 hours and now you say it. I love that for you. Well, happy early birthday to Megan in the future.
Thank you.
Editing Megan, who's going to be editing this?
Yep.
Really quickly, I don't know if it's going to be out yet or not. I don't think it is. We usually do an update, a news update. Mm-hmm. The only technical update I have right now, oh, it's not going to be out yet, is did you know that new Barbie movie is coming out?
I've seen the previews. I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
I love Margot Robbie. It's there. I think it's a little weird with Ryan Gosling in it. It seems very old. I don't know. I feel like when I picture Ken, I don't picture Ryan Gosling.
I don't picture Margot Robbie either, though. Like, she's obviously gorgeous, like, beautiful. But, like, I think whenever I see her, I see Harley Quinn. Like, I don't
see... No, for real, I see Harley... But she's just such a great actress that I feel like she could make the Barbie.
I know, I'm sure. But I just don't picture her as Barbie for whatever reason.
Actually, now that you say that, it is a little bit harder. Because at least the Barbie that I know, my Barbie.
She
was smart. She was educated. She was, like, brave and
stuff. She just looked all, like...
I feel like Margot Robbie gives me, like, sarcastic, like, jokey vibes.
She has, like, a sinister look to her. Like, she, like, evil, kind of. Yeah. Like, a sexy, seductress. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's obviously from Harley Quinn, but I just don't see her as, like, I'm American Barbie. Yeah.
Do you know who I see as Barbie?
Who?
Reese Witherspoon.
Girl, I was going to say that. Okay, yeah. I feel like I'm yelling. Because we watched Legally Blonde. I was drunk on the cruise. Really? And Travis watched Legally Blonde. I see Reese Witherspoon as Barbie.
Yeah, I think Reese Witherspoon as Barbie, as Ken. So I didn't have a Ken growing up.
My Ken had brown hair, though.
My Barbie needed to be with a military man. She was the G.I. Joe.
Was she?
Yeah. It was my brother's toys. So I'm trying to think of, like, who I picture as Ken. But I feel like I have such a skewed thought of Ken because I think of Ken from, like, Ryan Toy Reynolds. Story. Like
the blonde Ken.
Yeah, the Ken, he's like kind of evil, you know, from Toy Story. Yeah. Like, so like I like have a skewed version of Ken. I don't know who I see as Ken, but I don't see Ryan Gosling.
I don't see Ryan Gosling. Like I said, my Ken was brunette. So who's just really all American, good looking? That could be Ken. Like,
is Ken, like, smart aleck, though? Like, is he a little bit sassy? Because I could see, like, Ryan Reynolds, as a Ken.
Ryan Reynolds, yeah, because he looks very, especially when he's, like, freshly shaven.
Yeah, he's done up. He looks nice.
American boy next door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I have to really think about it, but I definitely don't see Ryan Gosling. I think he's too old, too. No offense, love him so much. But...
No offense if he happens to see this in a 1-to-1 million shot.
It's just, I don't know, when I picture Barbie and Ken, I picture them, like, in their 20s, because, you know, the Barbie and Ken dolls are rather young looking. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I'm excited to see the movie. Seeing the preview was a little weird, like, the way that they depict the movie, mm-hmm. like, it doesn't seem like it's a children's movie, but it's Barbie, so, like, it makes no sense. I know they do, like, some jokes about it, like, you know how the Barbie takes a shower, but there's no water and whatnot. And then they were like, oh, like, can I stay the night? And she's like, for what? Like,
he's like, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm confused as to, like, what's
the rating on it? Probably PG-13.
The fucking point of the movie is.
I don't know. They seem like they're running out of ideas for movies. Who knows?
It doesn't say. It says it's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Adventure and fantasy. But it doesn't have a rating. Yeah, but I think it's... Oh, here it is. What is Barbie rated? Hold on. I'm trying to figure out this thing. It is rated PG-13.
Yeah. Probably for suggestive themes or...
Yeah, like PG-13 for jokes. Suggestive references and brief language. I think it's super cute. I love it. I love the, like, nostalgia for it. But I'm just kind of confused with... I feel like they're trying to get so many people, like, famous people on it. That, like, I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. Like, what point of it is it? Because it's not related to basically any, like, Barbie movie that, like, we ever saw.
She gets, like, she goes into, like, the real world, right?
Yeah, she goes to, like, the real world.
You know what a movie seems like it kind of reminds me of is Enchanted, where they have, like, the fantasy world and then she gets stuck in New York.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, like, kind of the same thing like that.
Maybe. I mean, I would watch it. I'm interested to watch it. I know the music is going to be fire. I'm looking at the people that are in the music that's going to be in it already. But, yeah, I'm just very curious as to, like, what the point of it. It's not really, it doesn't seem like it's, like, made for kids. It's more, like, made for adults, but kids can watch it type of thing.
Yeah.
But it's going to be out. Are you guys going to watch it or not? Let us know, because I'm very curious. It comes out on the 21st, so it's going to be still a week when this podcast comes out to see if it comes out or not.
Like,
how
I said,
it is.
I haven't really seen too much into it, only, like, clips here and there on TikTok. Like, I don't know who else. Oh, I think, is Will Ferrell in it?
I have no idea. I know they said there's controversies, because when I was looking it up for the news segment, all the controversies were coming up, and I was like, I'm not even touching that shit right now. But now I'm curious as to, like, how it's having controversies, but it's gonna be very interesting. I'm gonna still watch it just to see. I do love Margot Robbie. I think is great. Have you been seeing her outfits? The outfits are cute.
Yeah,
as
her red carpet outfits.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw that on TikTok as well.
I've been absolutely obsessed. But I'm super excited to at least see. Ryan Gosling is singing in the song.
Oh, no.
And the song title is called I'm Just Ken.
Well, he was in, was he in La La Land?
I never saw La La Land, but he was.
Oh.
Never saw it, though. Don't know what that was about. There's been a couple of movies that have come out in the last few years that I thought were super freaking weird. Actually, no, completely off topic while we're on this. On topic, off topic. We saw a trailer for the Winnie the Pooh Blood One or Out for Revenge One or whatever.
What?
There's a horror movie, a Winnie the Pooh horror movie that's out. Winnie the Pooh gets abandoned by Christopher Robin because he goes to college. So Winnie the Pooh and Piglet go on like a killing rampage and they
kill this is
and
real?
Eat Eeyore. Yeah, I'll have to show you.
And it's not a spoof, like it's actual like a real movie?
No, it's a real fucking movie. Oh, Michael was watching the trailer with us, and he's like, is this real? I was like, it is. I was like, it's a horror movie, because I guess Winnie the Pooh is now, like, free. It's not, like, copyrighted or whatever, so people used it to create a horror movie. And people were pissed and were, like, sending death threats to the producers and stuff, because they're ruining, technically, Winnie the Pooh. Like, if you look it up and you see that fucking movie. And Winnie the Pooh ends up, like, killing, like, the people on it. It's gruesome. It's terrible. I haven't seen it. I just saw the trailer.
That's
but it's just, it's funny how creepy they made it. Michael says Winnie the Pooh looks like crap, but I was telling him how they can't make it look like the real Winnie the Pooh. Like, Disney still owns the rights of the drawings, which got me looking, or Michael brought it up. He's like, are there other children's stories that they turned into horror stories? Girl, there's a bunch.
Really?
There's a Pinocchio horror film. There's a Cinderella horror film. A mermaid one. What other ones did we see? I don't know. There was a bunch. And I was telling Michael, and I was like, what is this? He's like, why are they doing that? Oh, they're trying to turn Steamboat Willie? They want to turn him into a horror movie because the rights are going to be going soon.
Oh, my God.
And Michael's like, why would they do that? And I was like, Michael, because it's not something that they could do before. Now that they have the rights to do it, obviously they're going to want to be the first ones to get it done. And I was like, is it worth it? I don't know. And Michael was asking me if I saw any of them, and I was like, hell no.
Oh, all right, shitty ass movies.
You know what I did? I Wikipedia'd the plot of it, but I did not watch them. Absolutely not.
I do that
not.
All the time.
I needed to know what went on, and it sounds very, very gruesome. Apparently the Winnie the Pooh rating got like horrible ratings, like a 2 out of 10 or whatever, because people are just so mad about it, but they're making a sequel.
Really? What the fuck?
They didn't spend a lot of money on it. They grossed $5 million, so they made an income, so a profit. So obviously now they're gonna make a sequel. Which I don't know if Winnie the Pooh killed everyone, what kind of sequel they're gonna make, but I guess he's gonna kill Piglet or something. I don't know.
Oh my god, they're gonna turn on each other. Speaking of horrible ratings, I watched that the documentary that Tiffany was talking about, the Saving Maya or Save Maya or whatever. sad as hell. Don't ever take documentary recommendations from her.
But I looked up the doctor, Sally, whatever her name was. Did you see her rating on the whatever, like, you rate your doctor or whatever?
Are people coming for her?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't doubt it for a second.
Yeah. So she was, like, I guess, like, forced to retire or whatever, but... Yeah, that. Like, her doctor rating is, like, a 1.2, girl. It's, damn, like, terrible.
That's what happens. You know, if you don't think that karma's going to come and bite you in the ass, it is. It is. Especially with social media now, this day and age. Like, yeah. I just don't get how people don't realize that. But that is so funny that people did that. I love that you looked her up to see where you had your own rating.
No, I wanted to see, like, where she was now. Because, like, all the things were, like, back in, like, 2017, 2018, whatever. And we're in 2023 now. Yeah. And I was like, well, I wonder what she's doing now. Now that the...
She's retired, forcefully.
I wanted to see if she had Instagram and, like, see what people were saying. Damn. But she doesn't have Instagram or anything, so.
That sucks.
Yep.
Sucks a sack. All right, so today's episode, we're going to do something a little different. Oops, I lost it. Hold on one second. I found an article that had the worst lessons parents have taught kids. And we decided that we're going to go through this article for the advice that kids were given by their parents and share our opinions if we've had similar stories or if it's something that we never had to deal with. And then we want to know your guys' thoughts. What horrible lessons you have gotten from your parents. I'm trying to think if I've ever had a horrible lesson from my parents.
Religion.
I love that. I don't think I really had any horrible lessons. Yeah, I can't think of any horrible lessons that I've ever had. I've had, like, little lies that my mom said. My mom said that if you lost your tooth... and you looked in the mirror, your tooth was never going to grow back. So every single time I lost a tooth, I would, like, avoid mirrors because I was like, I didn't want to lose my tooth.
That's so random.
And one time, I fucked up. I was like, went to go wash my hands, and I looked myself in the mirror, and I was like, it's not going to grow back now.
I can't with you.
She lied, apparently, because all my teeth obviously grew back. But she scared the shit out of me, guys. Let me tell you that. Oh, I was terrified.
Janet.
I know. I was so fucking scared. Okay.
So that's so funny.
So... Just make sure you keep all the timer behind me because I can see it.
All right.
The first one, someone said, one of the worst was when my mom had the talk with me. She told me that sex was really for the man and that women are pretty much there only to fulfill the men's needs and desires. I was 12. I was also taught that if I had sex before marriage, basically no good godly man would ever want me because I had to be pure and God would be disappointed in me. I cried for days and I had debilitating guilt and shame when I finally did have sex. Gotta love religion.
Okay, that's a lot to unpack. Sounds like the mom has a horrible sex life. Let's just get that out of there.
Did you ever have the sex talk with your parents?
No, I pretty much got... None at all? No, I got the religion sex talk, okay, like that girl did. Like, if you have sex, you know, no man's gonna want you. God wants you to be pure, you know, like that pretty much. But as far as, like, what sex actually was, no.
No.
I didn't.
I'm trying to think. I had a book. My mom gave me a book, like, about puberty and stuff growing up. I don't know if it had sex in it, but I think it did talk about, like, healthy sex. It talked about, like, birth control and contraception. Thank you. I can't say the fucking word. My mom did say, though, that if I had sex before 18, she was going to beat my ass. So she did. That was the talk she gave me, that people do that. And then if I did it before 18, she going to whoop my ass. But she didn't say, like, I couldn't have it before marriage or whatever. She was just like, do not have it, like, in high school. Do not become a teen mom. Keep it in your pants. She said she was going to put a chastity belt on me.
I love that.
When she found out when I did have sex, she was like completely, she didn't like beat my ass like she said she would. She was completely like understanding. She talked to me. I mean, I was devastated because she found out when I broke up with the person that I lost my virginity to. She kind of knew. She was like, are you heartbroken because you did it with him? And then I was like, oh shit. Like, first of all, I'm like torn apart. I'm so sad. And then she has to bring this shit up to me right now so I can get what, grounded? I think I was 17, so I was like pretty much close. No, she was completely cool. She like talked to me about it. She like asked to make sure that I was safe. The main point is she didn't beat my ass, so. But I think we didn't talk to anything serious about, like, the talk beforehand. Just don't do it. And mm-hmm. then when it was eventually done, it was just talking about, like, being safe and, you know, making sure. Especially, like, emotions. She was, like, telling me. She's like, it's not the first time you're going to be heartbroken. Like, don't think it's the end of the world and stuff like that. So she was, like, super, super good about that. Never any of this shit. Like, oh my God, that's was my terrifying. Mom.
You will get pregnant.
I love that. All right. So the second one. My parents forbade me from standing up to my childhood bullies. My parents said that talking back to them, aka standing up for myself, would only make things worse, and I can still hear them getting irritated whenever I mention how insecure I was because of the bullies.
What the hell?
Yeah, they kept saying that I needed to let it go. I think that's so shitty, just because...
Especially if you actually want to stand up to them, like, because a lot of people don't.
Not just that, how we are in 2023 and bullies are so mean. There are children that out in the world hurting themselves because of bullies.
Kill themselves.
Yeah. Like, so this whole, like,
or don't take it out like on other
up,
kids.
Yeah. Don't stand up for yourself. No. Mm-hmm. I do not believe in being a bully and doing anything first. But one, tell anyone. And if no one's doing anything, tell us and we'll do something. Like, I think that is absolutely insane. Bullies need to be fucking dealt with because for some reason, someone is not teaching them or helping them to be a productive mm-hmm. member of society. And you're not going to make my child feel like a worthless piece of crap because you're a fucking bully.
Period.
I think that's absolutely insane.
I agree.
I never dealt with bullies as a kid. My mom never talked to me about bullies, but I'm pretty sure my mom would have been like, beat the ass, or I will.
Beat the ass, Tiffany.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we had bully talks or anything like that. I tell Michael all the time, I was like, if kids are mean to you, you better say something. But I think Michael's more afraid of telling any four of us because he's so scared.
He knows we'll go after him. That's the issue. And then he's going to be embarrassed.
He is way too aggressive of parents. I mean, minus Travis. I think Travis would be the reasonable one. But I think Michael.
Travis would be the one talking all of us down.
Travis would be holding us back. You guys can't fight a 12-year-old. You guys are grown.
Getting the bail money ready.
I know. That'd be interesting to talk about bullying with Bryce. Because I feel like Bryce would be like, I got bullied once and I handled it.
Yeah, that's going to be Bryce for sure. I beat his ass, Mom, like you said.
I think he would 100% deal with it very easily. I'm trying to go through these because I know there's a bunch. What is this? This is the one that I was trying to talk to and you were like, don't say it yet. The third one is, you could dream it and be anything you want to be, but everything before the but was BS. This was my parents. Have dreams. But we'll go ahead and clip your wings so you don't get too far ahead. I wanted to cheer. They said it costed too much money. I wanted to go to college out of state. It was too much money. I wanted to do this hobby or that hobby. No, it's too much money. So instead, I became a drugged out punk instead. And suddenly, how dare I waste my potential? They never help cultivate it.
See, that's difficult because... things do cost a lot of money.
I know.
Especially like cheer. Like, have you seen like these cheer moms, like how much money and time and camps and things that they have to go through? I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that one. I don't think it's, you won't let me cheer, so I'm gonna go do drugs. You know what I mean? Like, there's things in between that I feel like don't cost as much money, or other hobbies you could have.
But maybe. There's ways to go around it now. Like, let's say if we had a child who wanted to cheer and it was like super fucking expensive, I would be there looking up YouTube, like cheer routines and stuff, and like practicing at home with my child cheer routines until they got good enough that I was like, okay, eventually they could do it at school. It's going to be worth the money, one. Mm-hmm. Or two, there's going to be a scholarship to help out because they're so fucking good because they've been doing it all the time. Like, I would figure out a fucking way. I wouldn't be like, oh, money's the issue, can't do it. Like soccer. Soccer's too expensive. I'm going to get a soccer ball. We'll do soccer at home. Mm-hmm. Practice soccer like that. Like, don't just, like, give up on what your child wants to do.
Yeah, I feel that. That's true.
I think there's ways to go around it. I mean, I did so many sports as a kid, and I did not know how expensive it was until Michael started doing sports. And I was like, God damn. And I'm like, really? It was, like, this expensive?
Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of, fucking soccer's coming up again.
I know. And I think my mom like went around things. Like there was things like I couldn't do, like I couldn't do like a travel soccer league or whatever, because it's like too expensive. So I did just like the school one, which was cheaper. Like she like would sway me into different mm-hmm. things to make it easier. And then she did the same thing that we do. Like if you start it, you're going to finish it type of thing.
Yeah, because it's stupid expensive.
Yeah. But like even Michael, like not that he has any hobbies or stuff, but he wanted to do coding and some like coding school in Tampa. And I was like, you can do the coding, but you have to learn everything like beforehand. You have to learn like, you know, how to take care of a computer, security stuff. Like it's not just all the fun stuff. Like if you're going to mm-hmm. do this, you're going to do this the right way. And he's like, I don't know if I want to do it now. But I'd be willing to teach. Like even when he said he wanted his own YouTube channel. Remember when he went through that?
Yeah.
And we talked about teaching him how to edit and all the other stuff. And he's like, yeah. Why can't you just edit
for me? It's like a mountain of stuff to edit, sir.
Like, no, if you're going to do this and you're serious about this, we will support you. Mm-hmm. But you got to do the actual work.
Well, even like the college, like the lady said that she wanted to go to college out of state.
Yeah.
And it's like, I understand though. But like, why? Like, what is going to, like, it's too expensive to go out of state college, but I mean, you get to go to in-state college. College is expensive in general. Like, get a job.
Yeah, but what I don't get is, like, especially for college, like, I don't know. I might be skewed, but I don't think you really need your parents' permission, essentially, for college. I think
she wanted them to pay for it.
But then,
that's what I'm kind of saying. Now I'm being
the devil's advocate. Yeah. So I'd be like, pay for it your damn self.
That's what, like, I'm saying. Like, and it's like, oh, well, now I'm this way because you wouldn't pay for me to go to out-of-state college. And it's like,
yeah.
What? If you want to go to out-of-state college, then work towards going to out-of-state college. Like, go to community college here first, yeah. And then maybe transfer out or something. Like, what is...
No, I agree.
Sounds like a lot of just blaming the parents to me a little bit. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't really necessarily agree with that one.
I know. All right. This is what the second one is. My dad told me everybody's always trying to cheat you. Obviously, lots of other things are going on with him, so it's not just that. But now I don't trust anyone. Only my dog. I love how they have to add that. Only my dog.
You know, I was the same way. I used to only trust my cats, and then she peed in my suitcase before I went on my cruise, and I don't even fucking trust her.
Damn, you're gonna do Mila like that on our podcast?
Yeah, I am. You called her out by name. I said cat. It was Mila. Fuck you, Mila. She peed. Travis left the suitcase open overnight because he wanted to put more stuff in it in the morning, and she fucking pissed all over my bras and my underwear. So I had no bras, no panties on that damn cruise. Fuck you, Mila. And I hope you fucking, I'm gonna sit next to you on the couch and fucking watch this.
I love that. Fuck you, Mila. You're gonna show her this is the segment about you.
No, anyway. Fucking bitch.
I don't believe in telling your kids that. I mean, if you've been cheated in the world or you're not trusted in the world, I don't think you should put that on your kids. I think you should be more cautious for your kid's sake, but don't make your kid cautious.
I'm gonna have to disagree with that a little bit because, again, like, you know, we tell our kids all the time, like, don't trust strangers. You know, like, there are certain things that you have to tell your kids, like, you know, don't trust, don't do, and just to be aware. Maybe not to, like, that extreme.
Everybody's always trying to everybody always trying to cheat you, so thinking like everyone has ill intentions.
Yeah, that's like, not true. But
don't assume everyone's a shitty person. I mean, if your teacher's trying to help you, your teacher's trying to help you, don't put that mentality in a fucking 6-year-old and be like, everyone's a shitty human being. We don't need that in the world.
You
like
cheating.
Yeah, because then that's when you get the people who, like, if they see, like, a little old lady who, like, fell on the road, they're going to be like, not my problem. Like, she shouldn't have fallen. Like, be a decent human being. Don't – whatever happened in your life, don't put it on your kid's life. They could have a completely different life.
That is true. But also, don't tell your kids not to talk to strangers.
Yes, don't talk to strangers. Definitely don't talk to strangers. The next one is be the bigger person. My supposed best friend in 6th grade, who I spent almost every day with since 3rd grade, had a birthday party and invited everyone in our class but me. My mom made me go to the store, pick out a gift, and go to her house to give it to her while she was having the party. I've grown up to be a doormat and a people pleaser. and I'm actively working to raise my daughter in the polar opposite way.
Dude, fuck being the bigger person. I'm gonna say that real quick. I used to always try to be the bigger person. But this past year, maybe the past 2 years... fuck being the bigger person, because the only thing that helps out is the person who's trying to fuck you over, period.
I think I would have gotten grounded, because if my mom would have made me do that, I would have thrown the present at her face,
period.
Like, why would I be like, oh, let me give you a present, let me take it to the party that I was not invited mm-hmm. to let you know that I was still thinking of you of your birthday? No. Mm-mm. I would have either picked a shitty ass gift, shit in it or something and give it to you or thrown it at you. Like, that's so shitty. Like,
that is shitty.
And then to bring your child to that party and they can see all their friends, like, having fun, yeah, and then they have to leave.
Yeah. And everyone there knows, like, you weren't invited.
No, like, I feel like if, like, that happened to our kids, like, I'd be like, fuck that party. Let's go do something more fun, mm-hmm, that they wish they would have been a part of. Not give a fucking gift.
Yeah,
absolutely not. No. Like, would you do that as an adult? Like, would you show up like an idiot and be like, I know you didn't invite me to the shindig. I'm at the shindig anyways.
Some here's people do, gift, though. Like,
that is so some people weird. Do.
They come uninvited and just, like, show up.
No. I do believe in being the bigger person in most things, but I am also known to be a petty Betty. I have no issues with doing that.
Girl, you do be a petty Betty.
No, for real. Especially with something like that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
No, I think in certain situations, it's better just to be the bigger person and just ignore or walk away, whatever. But a lot of the times lately, absolutely not. I've been the bigger person, and all it takes is people, they get used to walking all over you, and that's what it is. They, yeah, like, they take your kindness as weakness, and they're so used to you just, like, kind of rolling over and being like, I don't want to cause an issue. Yeah. Bitch, I am an issue now.
I'm the issue.
I am the issue now, because I'm just so over it. And I think that's what happens, is you just become so used to being a doormat that eventually you just stop giving a shit altogether. And it's everyone's like, you've changed.
Yeah.
You're a bitch. And it's like, am I a bitch, or am I just, like, standing up for myself now and not letting you walk all over me? Which one is it?
For real. If I would have been the mom, I would have at least, you know, mom to mom, call the other mom and be like, why is my child not invited? At least, like, get an understanding of why, yeah, not. Not fucking do that.
You're allowed to invite whoever you want to your party. Yeah. I want to make that very clear, because, I mean, like, if my kid ever comes up to me and he's like, I don't want Jimmy coming to my birthday party, I'm not going to invite Jimmy, because I'm definitely not that parent who's like, you need to invite the whole class.
Yeah.
It's my kid's birthday. But if my kid's not invited, I'm not going to show up. And I'm definitely not going to be getting that kid a fucking present.
Yeah. No, for real. I'd be opening the present. Do you like this? Bet you do. And just step on it or break it or some shit like that.
Video.
I know. Absolutely not.
So.
Interesting. My dad would look at my report card and immediately point to the one grade that wasn't as high as the others. No praise, just, what happened here? Also, when I cry in front of someone now, I always end up apologizing for being too emotional. And finally, bullies don't go away when you ignore them.
Oh, I feel like they went through a lot of things.
Oh my god.
I'm going to disagree a little bit with the first one, because I also would ask what happened there. I mean, mm-hmm, I wouldn't scold the child.
Yeah, and definitely praise, like, as you're going down. Mm-hmm. Like, for Michael, for example. I was talking to Tammy, this is Travis's aunt, about this the other day. You know, going down Michael's grades, it was like A, B, and then D.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's the first thing I saw. I was just like, what happened here? Yeah. Like, you know, why do you have a D? It was one in his favorite class. Turns out our friend Michael was doing doing all of his work, but he wasn't turning it in.
Yeah.
Like, he literally just had it in his backpack and just, like, not. And you have to be like, hey, you know,
yeah,
turn your fucking work in, dude. What's going on here?
No, I think it's okay to be concerned, not to be yelled at. I mean, it's great that you have great grades in the other areas, but, like, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Because obviously this is the outlier. You're doing really good in school, so that means, you know, you're not struggling to learn things, but, mm-hmm, but something's happening in this one. Like, this is something that we should be concerned. Let's talk about it. You know, we obviously, there's ways to fix it in school. Mm-hmm. I don't think that is an issue. But the second one about, like, crying in front of someone now, always apologizing for being emotional. That book that we got Michael, it was talking about how men have feelings too, and it's okay for men to be emotional and stuff like that. And Michael was coming out and quoting the book and stuff like that. And
he's, oh,
like,
he finally read it?
Yeah. Oh. I made him when he was, like, he wanted to play Scratch. And I was like, you should really read. We got Michael
a coming into manhood book.
Yeah, like a coming, like a growing up, like what you're going to go through, puberty and stuff like that. It's a age-specific one. So for his age group, it doesn't talk about anything inappropriate, so that he can basically read it without having those awkward conversations with us. Mm-hmm. And one of the chapters was about emotions and boys having emotions, and basically talking about how it's okay for boys to be emotional. They don't have to man up. That's what one, mm-hmm, of the quotes is. You don't have to man up. It's okay if you're crying. It's okay if you're sad. And basically just normalizing that men can have feelings too.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really great. I don't remember seeing that when I was going through. I think we were looking more for, like, making sure it wasn't talking about, like, you know,
mm-hmm,
inappropriate stuff. But So yeah, he was basically bringing that up, and he was like, men can cry too. And I was like, damn right they can.
That's right.
And I told him, I was like, daddy's cried too. Like, it's completely okay. It doesn't make you any less of a man mm-hmm. if you have emotions or if you're sad and whatnot. I was like, everyone goes through it. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a great ass book.
That's good. We'll have to link it somewhere.
Yeah, we'll have to. It also talks about why boys smell all the time too.
Girl, let him reread that chapter, please.
It's very much needed. No, for real. Girl, I just read this one. My mom made me weigh in weekly to make sure I wasn't over 100 pounds. I also caught her putting less food on my plate. I was 98 pounds when I started college. As I've gained
college?
Weight. Mm-hmm. As I gained weight, her first comments were always about my weight, my hair, my clothes, and then she would say hi. I'm 39 and this still happens. She's Asian and thinks much of a woman's worth is based on her looks and what kind of man attracts. The damage she has caused is lifelong.
You know what's funny is my mom never did that. She never did, like, putting me on a scale and stuff like that. She never put me on a scale, but my mom would make comments. And my grandma would too throughout
about your weight.
Yeah, or she would like say things like comparing the way she was when she was my age to the way that I was. And I will never forget, she would tell me all the time, you know, I didn't have a large chest, and she would make comments all the time. When I was your age, I was a 32C, or you know, she'd say things like, yeah, when I was your age, well, you're a little bit bigger than I was, or you know, I was a size 2 up until, and like, I'm a teenager, and I was like a size 5 when I was in high school, and to this day I had the body type pretty much like I do now. And she like would make comments like that all the time about like, really? Well, you know, when I was with your dad, I was a little bit smaller than you, or I just always fucking saying shit. And the last straw, I remember it was when I left my house. I had run away from her house and I went to go live with Mike, and she was dropping the rest of my shit off at our apartment. And she made a comment about my butt. She was like,
really?
Something about my butt. I needed to start doing more squats because my butt was drooping or something like that. I was 18 years old.
She didn't realize that, first of all, you ran away. So, like, there's a cause of concern in your parenting.
Never and then fucking to add forget that it.
Comment to it, too.
I can literally, it's one of those things that, like, I can picture it. I can picture exactly, like, she was in the car. She was in the passenger seat. The car was like this. I was through the window. I was holding my pink blanket and the rest of my stuff.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And she made a fucking comment. Like, I remember it, like, to a T.
That's so shitty.
She would always make comments like that. I remember, like, my grandma, one time I went over there. And my grandma, God bless her soul, whatever, like, she just came from like a different generation. My grandma was definitely the kind of woman that before she left her bedroom, her hair was done, her makeup was done. She was a very small girl. She, again, like, was very, you need to look good for your man. She waited on my grandpa like hand and foot. She was very, very, very traditional Southern lady. Girl, I went over there one time. I remember I was with Mike and we went over to their house one time, and she told me I didn't have any makeup on, and she was like, are you feeling okay? She's like, you look like you're sick. And I'm like, I'm not wearing any makeup. She's like, you look way prettier with makeup.
Damn.
And girl, to this day, like, I think about it all the time. Like, I was 18 years old in the prime of my life, and my fucking grandma told me that I needed to be wearing makeup pretty much all the time. And so to this day, like, I still struggle with it. When we used to do videos and we first started being on the internet, I was like, I'm not going to not have makeup on. Yeah. Like, I look ugly. And that's something that has stuck with me to this day. Like, literally.
That's so shitty.
I know.
No, I don't think I ever went through any of that with my mom. Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, if anything, she was telling me that I have to wear, like, kid-appropriate, like, clothing and stuff. Like, when, you know, the other girls started wearing skankier stuff. Mm-hmm. She's like, no. She's like, you are just 15. You're not doing that. But no, never about weight or anything like that. But when I did become an adult, I had other family members who'd like to mention my weight, which was so shitty. And I was just like, how do you, like – thank God you didn't raise me, because I would have been mad as hell if I had to grow up and, like, I'm not even gonna get to that topic right now because I'm gonna lose my shit with it.
No, but seriously, like, that shit, like, really fucking affects you. Like, I've really had to, like, right after I had Michael, like, I was so concerned that, like, Mike was gonna leave me if I didn't lose the weight fast enough. Like, I starved myself.
It gives you, like, a
complex.
Yeah, a complex.
That's what I was thinking of. Starved, like, literally starved myself until I was back down to what I was. And I lost all the weight in, like, 3 months because I wasn't fucking eating, which is probably why I dried up so quickly and why I couldn't fucking breastfeed Michael.
Yeah.
Because I was so afraid that I was overweight. I was so afraid that, like, I wasn't gonna lose, you know, whatever. And yeah, I had literally had to, like, build my self-confidence from the fucking ground up.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, they weren't calling me ugly every single day. They weren't calling me fat. They weren't doing all this. But, like, these little fucking comments in those prime years of your life when, you know, you're already going through so much and all your puberty and emotions and stuff, like, that shit stays with you.
Yeah.
So fucking shitty.
That's not cool at all.
Working so hard now to love the body I have. And, like, I still look at myself in the mirror sometimes and I'm like, damn, I'm the same weight I was in high school. Like, I'm a size 5 or, like, yeah, I'm a size 4 or whatever. And, like, Tiffany and I talk about, like, body image and, like, how we're feeling about, you know, if we're having bad days or we feel fat or we feel whatever. And, like, we really, like, rely on each other to, like, yeah, bring us back down to.
We have that.
I feel like we have body dysmorphia to some 100%. Extent.
I tell myself that all the time. We'll talk. There's a topic, a podcast topic about this that I want to talk about. But I literally have sat down and told Mike, and I was like, as dumb as it seems, and I'm like, I know that we have to have, like, body dysmorphia, because I was like, I know that I'm a size small. I know that I'm basically the same weight or a little bit more than I was in high school. Like, I'm as fit technically that I used to be, but I was like, but I look at myself and I hate it. And I'm like, and it's so hard, like, it's, how do you, like, tell someone who, like, when people see you as small, but, like, you see yourself as, like, a 900-pound person? Like, I get that no one else sees it, but it's, like, what you see, and it's, like, hard to do it. Like, it's hard to, like, love yourself when you see, like, an outfit or something that you bought and it looks, like, so much better on someone skinnier. And, like, you're never gonna be like that because bone structure, but, like, you're still trying to make yourself look like that. It's
issues from fucking childhood. That's a whole other thing.
And anyway, even with social media, you know, I sit the wrong way in one video and everyone thinks I'm fucking pregnant. I ate 6 Oreos before the podcast, guys.
That's not even enough.
But no, we will talk about that in another one because we have a bunch about that, just talking about things that bother us.
But yeah, I feel that, girl. I'm telling you, like, I think about those things all the time, and it really did affect how I grew up and how I dealt with a lot of things. And to hear from your own mother, I feel like, and your own grandmother, the people who are supposed to love you unconditionally and, like, protect you and make sure you grow up with the right mentality, and to hear that. And
that lady says she no longer talks to her mom. It's been 7 years.
No fucking shit. Like, you did it.
I just don't get how, like, parents can't see the things that they do to their kids. And they're like, I don't know why they don't talk to me.
And she would also tell me that I was beautiful. And it was kind of like a low key backhanded compliment, because she'd be like, you look so much like me. You're so beautiful. Like, you know, trying to compliment herself or whatever. But
you look so pretty. You look exactly like I do.
That's literally my mom. But she would always tell me I was beautiful and, you know, like, funny and all these things. But you could hear that you're beautiful a million times a day. But if that same person tells you that, you know, you're ugly one time or says something, you know, that's what's going to stick with you.
Yeah.
It's not the, ugh, fucking bitch. Well, I had, you know, C tits. And, you know, when I was your age, you know, I was a size 3 or a size 2, but it's fine.
I can't.
Thanks, Mom.
This one, this is an interesting one. When I was a little kid, for some reason, my dad was in a hurry for me to grow up, so he discouraged me from doing normal little kid things, like watching cartoon or pretending make-believe. He'd say things like, that's for babies, you're a big boy. It caused a lot of confusion and frustration for me and impacted my friendships because I was judging my friends for watching G.I. Joe and Smurfs like little normal little kids.
I hate that.
I mean, there's grown-ass adults that be watching freaking cartoons. And as parents, we also have to play make-believe sometimes, even though I don't see it and don't get it. Let the kids be little for as long as they can be.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like Mike sometimes, I feel like he's so excited, especially since Michael's getting older, that they get to do a lot more stuff together. And even though, you know, he does have, like, that childish side to him, I feel like he just can't wait for Michael to get older. And I feel like I have to constantly be like, he's only 12. Like, he's only 12. Like, let him be 12. Do not rush him. Because me, like, I'm on the total opposite end. Like, I don't, not that I don't want them to grow up. I love watching them grow up and stuff like that. But I just let them be little for as long as possible. Like, keep them innocent. Keep them little. Keep them, you know, like, let them be kids. Because they have literally their whole entire lives to be miserable adults. Like, let them be.
Damn, way to be so negative about adulthood. Girl, it's
miserable adulthood.
It's been a rough year.
I love that. No, but I definitely agree. I mean, it doesn't hurt them to watch. So, like, I'm not going to let, obviously, Michael play, like, on a little kid playground. Like, that, no, you're too big for that, unfortunately, bud. But, like, watching TV shows or even if we're, like, at home, like, playing with, like, whatever, Bryce's toys or whatnot, like, who cares?
They'll,
like,
grow out of it eventually at their own pace. I mean, like, look at Michael and Disney now. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think that was going to happen so soon. I thought we at least had a few more years with that. But they'll grow out of it when they want to. But rush your kids, please. Let them. I played with Barbies until I was fucking 12. Okay.
I love that. I played with Bratz, but that's besides the point.
I had Bratz, too, until I was, like, 12 years old.
I feel like we've discussed this before. We keep talking about Barbies and Bratz.
Yeah, my dad, he's like, you played with Barbies until you were 12. And I'm like, yeah, no shit. I also wasn't having sex at 14, so, bitch.
Cute. Make it feel some type of way.
I'm in a spicy mood today. I'm really tired. I haven't had enough caffeine. I've been trying to limit my caffeine, and I'm, like, fucking tired.
I love that. Hold on. We have one more, because then we're going to switch it off. Our phones are going to be dying soon.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is, refusing to hug a grown-up relative is wrong, and it will make that person sad.
Fuck that.
And then the person said, no, I don't believe that. When a child doesn't want to hug, they just don't want to hug. Grown-ups can get over it, and children need to learn that consent matters.
No, there's times where I ask Bryce, I'm like, you want to come in and give me a hug? And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay.
Has he said no?
Yeah. Just because he doesn't want to. He wants to go do something else. And I never want to force my kids to do anything that they don't want to do. If he doesn't, I mean, I'm his own mother. And, you know, like, if he doesn't want to give me a hug, I'm not going to make him feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was last night. I was like, come cuddle with me on the couch. And he was like, no, I just want to lay over here next to Millie. Millie's our cat. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, there is five. Millie's his favorite. But I was like, okay, that's fine. And then, like, Travis came over and he was like, I'll cuddle with you. And then Bryce came over and was like, no, I'm going to cuddle with you. And I was like, oh, whatever. But if they don't want to hug another adult, fuck that. They don't have to. Like, your kid's allowed to feel comfortable.
I love
that. That's teaching them the wrong fucking thing.
Yeah. I love that more and more people are doing this. I think that is amazing. Growing up in a Hispanic culture, it is rude if you don't hug and, like, say hi and, like do the kiss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every single, like, person that you see when you go and visit. When I was working at my old job, I'm not gonna say for purposes, when I first worked there, because it was the Hispanic, like, the Latino department, when they were greeting me for, like, my first, after my interview in there, they were trying to, like, do the whole kissing hello thing, and I was just like, like, backing up, like, I get that we're all Hispanic because, you know, I'm Puerto Rican and they were all of different races, but I was like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you, and I know that it's a Hispanic custom to do the little kiss thing on the side, but, like, y'all are fucking strangers, and I did not feel comfortable with, like, doing that, and I felt bad because, like, I pushed back, like, what the fuck are you doing, and they were a little confused, but I'm like, I don't like that. Like, I do it with my family. I've obviously grown up doing it. I'm very used to doing it, but, like, no, I don't know you, and I was, like, strict to be like, we're not doing this shit, and it was uncomfortable for all of us because I saw them to go. Yeah. And when they saw me back up and stick my hand out to do a handshake, they were kind of like, what do I do with that? Yeah. They didn't, like, know how to do that. But, like, I just don't feel comfortable doing that for my own personal reasons. I just don't like it with strangers. I still do it with, like, family members and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, when family brings friends and they, you know, they come over, I do it out of respect, with respecting your elders. But Michael doesn't do it at all. Like, he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to hug anyone. I don't believe in, like, the whole, like, if the child doesn't want to say hi to you, I know that it comes off rude and I get that. But they don't have to. I will say hi on their behalf. Like, I just don't want to have to force it. I hated growing up because I didn't say hi. Maybe I was a rude child. I don't know. But I hated. I would hear the adults talking shit about me, like, behind my back as a kid for not, like, going to say hi. And it's like, one, there's like 30 people fucking here. I'm not saying hi 30 fucking times. And two, like, when I'm a kid, I want to go see the other kids that are there in the house and go mm-hmm. play. I'm not fucking going to say hi to every single fucking adult. When we usually walk in through the door, Michael and Bryce probably say hi to the first adult they see, and then they're gone.
They're running. Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to be like, stop and say hi to everyone who's here. Like, no, we're not.
You can go pop in there and say hi. You're an adult.
Yeah. Like, we're not doing that. Yeah. You can say hi. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to hug and touch. Damn, did you hear that?
I did. That's very loud.
That's a car that's like leaving, but I sounded in the headphones. I love that. Watch, you can't even hear it, but we hear it all the time. But yeah, I don't believe in that. I don't think you don't have to like hug or touch the kid or anything.
I agree. I think that behavior, you know, we say like, oh, you know, if someone tries touching you or someone tries doing this, let me know. But you're encouraging it. Like, if they're telling someone no, but yet it all starts in the home. Like, mm-hmm. if you can't have, you know, respect for your child in the home, like, how do you expect them to like feel comfortable enough if the adults coming up to them and being like, give me a hug, like out in there? But it could be a creepy person. When they're conditioned, if an adult talks to you, you better give them a hug, or you better no, you have to like, it all starts, behavior starts in the home, you know, like teach them, you know, I respect you mm-hmm. in your wishes, you know.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And
you don't want to, you don't have to. So I just, weird. I hate that.
I don't agree with that type of situation. Neither and it's I. so hard, and like, especially in the Hispanic culture of like trying to like, I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful for the elders. But like, if I see that Michael's uncomfortable and like, you know, you could read the cues and like trying mm-hmm. to step in and like, I have to be rude so that he doesn't have to be rude type of thing.
But
and
there's like, different ways to be respectful too. Like, it's not like you're just like ignoring him and being like, ugh. No, you're like saying hello.
Some people
like,
don't get it though. Some people just
I'm sure.
are persistent, and then now I have to be the bitch, and I'll do it, but I just I feel so bad that you have to put me in that point. Like, just like understand, like it's okay. Like, if he goes through and doesn't say hi to anyone, I'll be like, oh, I'll make a joke, like, oh my god, I can't believe he just ran off, like, hey, how, and like try to distract mm-hmm. it. But like, it's not his job to say hi to you. He's a fucking kid. He probably didn't even want to be there, okay? And I dragged him with me, so let him do whatever he's going to go do or see the other kids. I'll say the highs. I'll do the bullshit talks. I'll say all the goodbyes. Even like when we leave all from each other, like if Michael just walks away and says bye, I'm not going to be like, come over here and give me a hug. Like mm-hmm. he said bye, he turned around and that's it. Like, people take it way too sensitive. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's rude if you don't say hi to bye to someone. It is not a custom that has to happen. Like, you don't not have manners if you don't say hi or bye. You come through the door and you don't say hi. You're like, I'm here.
No, say hi to Luna.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's insane that people act like it's so rude and disrespectful. And to the people who were talking shit about me as a kid.
Fuck you.
I didn't say hi to you for a reason. Mm-hmm. Let me just say that. Yep. The whole, like, she came in and she didn't even say hi. Can you believe how disrespectful that child is?
No, disrespectful is taking a shit on the floor.
Like, I'm hearing it this whole entire time. So, one, now I'm ashamed, essentially, of coming through the door. And I'm like, do I go around and now say hi and, like, embarrass myself? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, and then you're talking to, like, my parents, like, to me, like, about me about that. And, like, making them seem like they're shitty parents. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm glad I didn't say hi to you. You're people probably gone just, now anyways.
The only thing I try to encourage is, like, if the kids are playing on the playground or something and they're playing with another kid, I'm like, hey, like, introduce yourself.
Say your name.
Yeah, say, hi, I'm Bryce. You're like, what's that kid's name?
Girl, my favorite stories, or my favorite time, is when we're like, Bryce, what's his name?
I don't know.
Ooh. Okay. Like, just introduce yourself, not to the parents, you know, go find out. If you're playing with a kid, just like, hey, my name's Bryce, what's your name? So you guys can be able to, like, talk to each other, get in the habit of doing that.
I completely agree. Or saying like thank you if like someone get like at a party gives them something mm-hmm. or a treat or whatever, because I know the kids are always asking for stuff and we don't listen.
I've got our next, we can't do it on this one because we don't have time, but our next little topic I want to talk about in the beginning, it's gonna be a news topic for me. I just remembered it.
Oh, I love that. I hope you don't forget it. There's a notebook next to you if you do.
I'm gonna write it down.
All right, so we're gonna be doing, that's awkward, I said there's a notebook but there's no pen. I know, I love that.
Nope. Okay. From blended to bestie, or not from blended to bestie.
I need a bestie segment. If you guys don't know, it's a segment where you guys send us an email anonymously and we read it out loud and give we give our opinions as your besties. So today we get help, how to get past the past. I am the stepmom. My husband's ex has made co-parenting very difficult over the years. spoken badly of me, purposely made plans on our time, tried her hardest to split us up by being very, very difficult. Made up rumors, tried to get his whole family not to like me. I could go on and on. She was awful. When all that failed, the kids are now older teenagers slash adults. She has pretty much left us alone. We still have to see her at events and things. I still cannot bring myself to forgive and forget all of the things she has done and said over the years. I feel she has put so much bad stuff in the kids' heads that it cheated me and the kids out of a beautiful relationship. I have and will always be there for them, and I love them. I have always gone the extra mile for them, but I feel that they are stuck because they couldn't show or tell their mom that I was a great person. Now when we see her at events, she sometimes tries to talk to me. Just general conversation, but I cannot forgive and forget, especially when an apology was never given. What do I do? I don't want to hold all this animosity anymore, especially when there are grandkids that are going to be coming. This has been almost 15 years now. I can't do another 15 years in the same anger stage. She must have forgotten how awful she was to me. What do I do? I envy your relationship and wish we could have had that. As a side note, I have never done anything to her. This all started the day she found out I was seeing her ex.
One, the best advice I could give you, which was given to me when Mike and I got divorced, is you're never going to get all the apologies you think you deserve. Okay. So there is just going to be some things that you're just never going to get the apology you deserve. And you've got to come to terms with that and be okay with that in order to move forward. It's not easy. There are still some times where I get a little triggered and I have to go cry to the bathroom myself for like a minute, you know, but I made the choice to get over it and forgive and move on. So you can't keep holding that over their head if that's something that you decide to do. Take it upon yourself, get a little cry, get over it, move on. I think it's great that you're willing to, you want to push past things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like you said, I mean, you have to forgive for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, you're the one that's holding on to this anger and you're the one that's going to be suffering by it. So I this is what I would do. I would forgive, but not forget. You know what I mean? Like, just be friendly, be kind, and just, I don't know. It's hard because it's not really what we preach.
I know. It's a little hard to forgive and forget. I know, you know, when you're cut or you're stabbed or something, you're always going to have that scar. It's never going to go away. My personal thoughts would be, write down what you would say to her if you could say anything. Like, no holding back. Mm-hmm. Write it down. When you're finished writing it down, take it, read it, say it out loud as if you were, like, speaking to her yourself, and then burn it. At least you're getting everything that you want to say out there, because I know it's, like, in your chest. It's the emotions you're feeling. You need to release it. You should release it. Write out everything you want to say. Say it out loud as if you were saying it to her. I mean, yell it in the house if you need to. Mm-hmm. And then burn it. It's out there. You said what you had to say. You didn't say it directly to her, but you did say those words out to the universe, and that could hopefully help you a little bit to kind of release that. And understand as well, it has been 15 years. She's probably has forgotten, and she's probably a different person now than she was then.
Yeah.
So you are technically talking to, like, a new person, and you're upset with the old person. So kind of just maybe do it like that. It's not the new, it's you're speaking to a whole new woman. So you're angry at the past woman. So maybe that could help a little bit, because she could have changed. She could be different, maybe seeing you in a different light, which is why she's talking to you. And maybe has, because she maybe has done stuff to work on herself. And maybe just forgot that she needed to do some apologies. And hey, you never know. Maybe, you know, while you're talking and figuring things out, she might be like, hey, by the way, I'm, you know, sorry for the things that I said or done. I mean, she's not going to bring it up now while things are still new and she's still testing the waters. But when she's comfortable, she might be able to be like, hey, I'm so glad we're in a healthy stage. The things that I've done, I'm sorry for.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say. Or maybe she's embarrassed by them. You that's know, and true, she's embarrassed. Maybe she realizes it and she's embarrassed, and she's maybe just hoping bygones will be bygones or whatever and you guys can move forward. But if you guys do form a stronger relationship, maybe not best friends or whatever, you know, maybe just, you know, get more friendly, maybe she will feel bad and maybe bring it up, or like you said, maybe she doesn't remember, or is a totally different person. I would just take your wins as wins and the fact that she's still not being nasty. Mm-hmm. Just continue to be kind and maybe work on your relationship with the kids, you know, like,
yeah. And who knows?
No time like the present.
Yeah. You guys could get in a place where you have a solid foundation that you could, if it still bothers, be like, hey, this is something that I've been wanting to get off my chest that really mm-hmm. hurt me. Can we talk about this in like a safe mm-hmm. space and environment where you can address it? Maybe it might take a few years, but if it's something that does hurt you as much, maybe you could bring it out where you have a great, what is it, form of communication that you can air it out without feeling like there's going to be, you know, defensive or argument or any mm-hmm. type of issues.
Yeah, Tiffany and I have had a lot of really hard conversations just about the past and, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, aired it out, talked it out. I mean, it is what it is. It's already happened, you know, yeah. and you get past it, you move on, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. So. But I'm glad that after 15 years, you guys are trying to mm-hmm. talk and discuss stuff, especially for the grandbaby's sake.
I know.
You guys are going to want to be there for every single moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all we got for today. I'm hoping this wasn't a super long one because we could have kept going. I saw some interesting ones, but I was like, damn, we're going to be here all day.
Maybe we'll do a part two.
If you guys have any advice that you guys need besties for, make sure you guys are emailing us on
FromBlendedToBesties@gmail.com.
I always forget. I always think it's I need a bestie. That's what throws me off.
I wanted I need a bestie, but it was taken. So yeah. It's FromBlendedToBesties@gmail.com. Everything is anonymous. You can message us there and we will do our best to give you our advice.
Our advice, yes. And if you haven't left us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere you listen to our podcast, please, please do so. We appreciate it so much. Yeah, other than that, that's all we got.
That's it. And we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. Bye.